Christmas. And the reason is not everybody knows what Christmas is. And growing up, a lot of us celebrated something we thought was Christmas, but it was not Christmas. It was just a holiday. It was just a holiday. Time off, presents, you know, parties. And I thank God, my first Christmas, I was 23 years old. I'd gotten saved in March. And boy, it was a whole different world that year. And everything meant something different that year. And I thank God that my children, of course, Suzanne and Becky, I think they were 3 or 4 years old, and Charity wasn't born yet. And they have no memories of anything but a real Christmas. And I thank God they don't have that. Amen. Amen. And I hope you have a real Christmas. And I'm trying to work you toward that. So if you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man, that means engaged, whose name was Joseph of the house of David, that's his family, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's worried about what he's going to say. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes today about fear not. Fear not. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to give me your attention just for a few minutes today. You've been busy all week, probably not doing the Christmas shopping you all do. I'm a man. We don't do that until the week before Christmas. Amen. And we have no idea what we're going to get. We're just going to get something. Amen. And I'm going to walk in belt, and I'm going to say, I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and this is what I want, and they're going to wrap it up, and I'll be done. I don't know why women get so upset. It ain't that hard. Amen. But I've been preaching for a long time, since 1979. I was licensed to preach in 82. I was ordained in 83. And if you'll just listen to me, I've learned a few things. I didn't start this yesterday, you young people. I've learned a few things. Some I've learned the hard way, some by divine inspiration. But I want to help you. I'm not here to beat you up. I want to help you. It's might not, like we said last night, it's not my job to get you. It's not my job to keep you. It's my job to bless you. That's my job. And I want to help you. So if you'll listen, you can leave here today and learn something about the Word of God and the time that we're about to celebrate. Last week, we talked about Elizabeth and John the Baptist, how God had come to an older woman who had always prayed for a child and couldn't have one, and now in her old age, God sent the angel to tell her she was going to have a son, and his name was going to be John, and he turned out to be the greatest prophet that ever lived on planet Earth, and it was John the Baptist. And the angel just mentioned that 6 months before, that she was ahead of Mary by 6 months and having a miraculous birth. And so today I don't want so much to talk about the birth. I want to talk to you about something that the angel said. He told Mary, he said, Mary, fear not. He said, God's fixing to do something wonderful. He's fixing to do something great with you. You're favored of the Lord. You have no need to fear. You have God's favor. And today I want to talk to you. You know, fear has been a part of the human existence ever since the beginning. Adam and Eve feared God himself because they had sinned. They started out wrong. We all are afraid of things. I'm scared of spiders. I hate spiders. Don't bring me a spider. There used to be a country music song that said, I hate spiders and snakes. Y'all remember that? And that ain't no way to get a girl. Amen. I agree with that song. My father-in-law said there's three kinds of snakes, and he hates them all. He said there's poisonous snakes, there's non-poisonous snakes, and there's sticks that look just like snakes, and he scared every one of them. I don't know what it'd take to get some of you to smile, but I'll keep trying. But we're all afraid of things, every one of us. Some are afraid of disease. Some are afraid of financial problems. Some are afraid of old age. And by the way, old age ain't that bad. It sure beats the alternative, amen? And gray hair. I've been had gray hair. It started when I was about 17 or 18. And now they say it makes me look distinguished. It did make me look old, but since I'm old, it makes me look distinguished. So everybody fears something. A lot of people fear disappointment. They fear being forgotten as they get older. They're afraid everybody's going to forget them. But even in the Bible, there are people that had lots of fears because that's humankind. I thought about Abraham. He lied about his own wife being his sister out of fear that they would kill him. Jacob displayed fear of his own brother because he was afraid his brother was going to kill him. Moses feared Pharaoh. Moses feared rejection by his own people. The disciples feared the storm on the sea. Everybody fears something. And don't tell me you don't, because you'll be lying, and that's a sin, and you're in church, and this sure ain't no place to lie. Everybody fears something. Do you have any fears today? Say amen right there. We all do. Amen. Nothing's changed. People, especially this time of year, they get all kind of fear that they're not going to get the right Christmas present, or they're not going to get the right tree and all that stuff. They're afraid it's going to turn out bad. People fear about their money, how much money they're going to spend during Christmas, and boy, that ain't good. And look, even they fear over meals during this time of year. We had a big meal last night, and I fear we all sinned. If gluttony is a sin, we probably did it. I hope you asked the Lord to forgive you before you got here today. I did. But we sin, and we're afraid, you know. We're afraid that God's going to get mad at us, you know. And this time of year, we fear that other people's going to get mad at us, and we're not going to meet their expectations. And here's this little girl, little teenage girl, probably, I don't know, I'm supposing 15 years old back then. She was already engaged but was not married. And here this angel shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. And she said, how's that going to happen? I never knew a man. Now she, in the way that we say no, she knew Joseph and men, but she had never had a intimate relationship with a man, you might say. How's that going to happen? He said, well, the Holy Ghost is going to do it. And she feared that because it's something that she never knew. And then I imagine she feared what society would think about her. Don't you imagine that was it? I was born in 1954. I was an illegitimate child. And back then, that was a terrible thing. Now, read the paper, over half the births are out of wedlock. Mama's got one name, daddy's got another one, if it even has daddy's name listed. Over half the babies are born out of wedlock. Doesn't seem so bad. That doesn't seem people fear that anymore. I used to fear growing up what people thought about me. I thought I was too skinny. I thought I was too dumb. I thought I was this. I thought I was too poor. I thought this and that. And we all had those fears, didn't we? And everybody has fears. And so I want to take just a little time to talk just a little bit about those words, fear not. Number one, look at verse 26. And the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent. Look at verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Look at verse 28. And the angel came into her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now this woman, this young woman, had been favored by God. Now do you know what that means? The word providence. What that means is God's plan. In God's plan, God had chosen this little girl before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Before Adam and Eve were ever created, God chose this little girl to carry His Son, our Savior. Amen. Now, don't you tell me if you was 14 or 15, that wouldn't scare you to death. Amen? That would scare you to death. And a lot of times, God overruling us and watching us, and His plans interrupt our plans, and His plans overrule our plans, and sometimes His plans shock us. I remember the day I finally surrendered to preach. I didn't tell anybody. I struggled with it for about a year. My wife didn't even know. When I went forward that day and surrendered, and they called her up there, and the preacher said, "What do you think about it?" She says, "First I heard of it." Because I thought God made a mistake, or either I was making a mistake. One, I still think He made a mistake, but I'll leave that up to Him. But the reason I didn't surrender sooner is I was afraid. I was afraid. The reason we don't get saved sooner is because we fear that we can't live up to it. We fear that God's got a plan for our life and that we're not going to meet His expectations. Well, let me go ahead and remove your fear. You're not going to meet His expectations. You're not going to live up to it. That's why He sent a Savior to die in your place. He lived up to it because you can't. Amen? So don't fear being saved. He's already paid for that. It's just like a check paid in full. Your problem is you're afraid to reach out and take the check. My goodness, let's see. If we could build a building for about 400,000, nice sanctuary and everything for about 400,000, you write that check, I ain't scared to take it. But look, she probably had dreams of a wonderful marriage. She was about to be married to this young man, Joseph. She had probably had dreams of having children. I'm sure she did. Back then, everybody was expected to have children. And I'm sure she had plans. But God looked at her and said, "Now look here, I know what your plans are, but I've got some better plans because of who you are. I'm going to do something special with you." And it scared her to death. Now, you young people, listen to me. Maybe some of you old folks too. God may tell you something by reading His Word or meditating or going to church or listening to a Sunday school lesson. God might reveal something to you and it scare you to death. He might want you to do something. But see, God's plans are better than yours. And they're pure and they're holy and they're perfect. Your plans are imperfect. And most of the time, they're impure and unholy because they're selfish. Amen? But God had a plan for this little girl, and it scared her to death. Young ladies, listen to me. One of the reasons He had a plan for her, because not only of her human purity, she is pure. She'd never known a man. And I don't care what your favorite rock singer, rap singer, country singer says, God still loves purity. Amen. Y'all look at me like that proverbial cow looking at the new gate. It's the truth. Amen. Listen. But He also saw her spiritual purity. God doesn't choose people to do His divine plan unless they're right with Him. And this little old teenage girl was right with God. She was thoroughly right with God. And I don't think she really cared what the world thought about her being right with God. I think what she feared was they would think she was not right with God because of her announcement that she was going to have a baby and was not yet married. The fear was not of God's plan, but of man's criticism and what people would say about it. And then God gave her the comfort and gave her the peace that she needed. And in verse 28, Gabriel announces to Mary, and immediately, let me tell you something, her life's turned upside down. Let me go ahead and tell you something. I don't want to scare you because you're already afraid of what God does anyway. When God does something in your life, it will turn your life upside down. You will never be the same if God does it. Now, if you make a decision, like they say on television, for Christ, I doubt that's going to work out. But if God calls you to be saved and you feel God's calling in your heart and your mind and you know you need to be saved and you're worried about going to hell and you're worried about displeasing God and God calls you to be saved and you surrender to that call, God will save you. Because see, that wasn't your decision, that was His decision. You make bad decisions, you don't ever fulfill the decisions and commitments that you make. None of us do. But when God calls you and you surrender to the call of God, whether it's salvation or service, being saved, teaching Sunday school, singing in the choir, just ushering in the church, deacon, whatever it might be, or going across the street seeing that little old lady that's a widow and taking her a Christmas ham, when God calls you to do something, it will turn your life upside down. You will never be the same. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, are you listening? He's a new creature. And all things, old things pass away, and all things become new. When I got saved, here's what I tell them. Before I got saved, I'd say, Pastor, when I quit lying and cussing and cheating and doing all these things that I do, y'all listening, young people, I'll come and I'll join your church and I'll get baptized and I'll be a Christian. He said, son, you'll die and go to hell. You'll die and go to hell. I said, I thought that's what Christians were. He said, that's what they ought to be. A lot of them ain't, but they still saved. He said, what you need to do is give it to Jesus. Let Him save you and let Him do the changing. And when He does the changing, He'll turn your world upside down. And it was the testimony of the apostles and the disciples in the book of Acts that these men have turned the world upside down. 12 people. Now, God had to calm that little girl when He told her that she was going to have that baby. And sometimes, you know what? God's going to have to calm you. Now, before you get saved, you're a nervous wreck. Before I got saved, every time the preacher pointed, he was pointing right at me. It didn't matter if he was pointing over here. If I was sitting 6th pew on the left-hand side on the end every time, slid down behind Mr. McCoy because he was 3 inches taller than me. And every time the preacher would be preaching, I'd look up, that big fat finger would be pointing right at me every time. Every time he'd say something, I'd think my wife's been talking to this guy. Somebody's told him everything about me. Amen? Now, that made me nervous, and I had a lot of fear because it made me fear God, and I was going to go to hell, and I knew that. But then when He saved me, He gave me the peace that passes all understanding. He calmed all my fears. Now, I don't fear hell anymore. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. They'd have to air condition it. Because the God that cannot lie said He would save me and He would keep me. And Jude 22 says He would present me faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. That's all Him. I put it in His hands. If I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting Jesus Christ and nothing else. Because I'll never be good enough. Never. Now thank God I'm not what I used to be. But I'm not always what I ought to be either. But praise God, I'm not what I'm going to be either. Amen? Now, so I put it on Him. Now, my life needs to be changed. He has to change it. That scares me sometimes. You know, when God called me to preach, I didn't know what a preacher was. I didn't know what a pastor was. But every time I'd read something, He'd be talking to Moses, sound just like He was talking to me in my heart and my head. He'd be talking to Peter, it sounded just like He was talking to Ron in my head. And so I was scared to death. I didn't know what a preacher was. And as soon as I surrendered to preach, I'd heard these preachers say, well, you got to quit your job, go to Bible college. And I heard their big, long stories. So I walked in the mill a couple weeks later after I announced my call to preach. And I said, I'm quitting the job and I'm going to Bible college. They said, where are you going to work? I said, I don't know. Who's going to pay for it? I don't know. I'm sure my wife was more scared than I was with 2 babies. Amen? But I didn't have enough sense to be scared. I just figured He'd save me, He'd keep me, He'd call me, He'd keep me. I'm not saying we had all the time had good times. I remember picking up cans to buy gas to look for a job. Amen? But hey, I wasn't scared anymore. He gave me perfect peace. Now whatever God wants to do, you ought to let Him do it. If he won't save you, it scares you because you think you're not going to live up to it, and you're not, and you think you're not good enough, and you're not. Right. If you were, you wouldn't need a Savior. Right. So why don't you just go up there and say, Lord, it scared me to death. I did that day. It scared me. I didn't know what saved was. I'd never met three people that were saved. And I walked up there, and I didn't know what saved was, but I knew if it's what that preacher said, I had the Word of God, that's what I needed. And the moment I asked him to save me, the fear was gone. And I got perfect peace. And now, listen, I've never doubted that ever since. Now, I've doubted me. I've doubted preaching. Most times I go out here and I shake my head. I say, sorry, preacher. He preaches too long. He tries to say too much in one sermon. He offends people. I'm talking about myself. But I never fear my salvation. It's forever settled in heaven. Amen? Because God did that. God did that. Now when I'm in the will of God, I don't fear. God tells me I ought to be a pastor. I pastor and I don't fear. And I'm kind of like old Billy Kelly. He said him and his wife made a decision when they went to ministry that they never would give up and they never would give in. And so somebody said, well, what are you going to do if you starve to death? He said, we got that plan. We done went down there and bought a bottle of vinegar and we got a little box of baking soda and we'll eat that baking soda and we'll drink that vinegar and we'll blow up and die and the devil will think we eat ourselves to death. We never would tell the devil God didn't take care of us. Some of y'all been drinking vinegar, ain't you? Look, it's just not like our day. If a 14-year-old girl surrenders to God, the whole world questions her, talks bad about her, looks down on her. And young ladies, young men too, it's a fearful thing to surrender to God. But you go ahead and do it anyway because the world's going straight to hell. Amen. And the world's not going to be here forever. And you're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. And then I want you to notice this. Joseph kind of feared too. What would you think if your fiance showed up pregnant one day? Oh, can't say pregnant. Preacher Coley said you can't say pregnant. You have to say expecting. What if your fiance showed up expecting one day? You say, well, I'm getting rid of this gal. But the angel said, don't you get rid of her. That's God doing this. And so he saw two possibilities. This is all he could do. He feared. He saw two possibilities. They were already engaged. Back then, that meant you were just married other than consummating the marriage on your honeymoon. You know what I mean? And so he had two choices. He could divorce her publicly and ridicule her to public scrutiny and all the bad things. Or he could do it privately and then live for the rest of his life doubting whether or not God was in on it. Or he could just take the angel literally at his word that God was in this. Amen. And not care what people thought. Can you imagine what it would be like at the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem if this couple walked in and she was 3 months pregnant and the husband looked up at the preacher and said, this is God's son. And they wasn't even married yet. Let me tell you something. Joseph had a privilege. Joseph was in a long line of godly people. And God not only handpicked her, but he handpicked him also. Now again, you old people, you're past this, but some of you young people, I want you to listen to this. Be careful who you become entangled with. Make sure, if you're of God, if God has chosen you and picked you, make sure that the one that you're marrying or love or engaged or dating or whatever you want to call it, make sure God picked them too. Amen. How many poor girls have we seen ruined by some sorry, low-down man? Some poor little old Christian girl, and they fall in love with this thing. And they say, well, we're going to make him better. No, you're going to end up being bitter. You're not going to change him. He needs to get saved. Amen? Why don't you just go ahead and find you some saved boy? You say, I can't find no good-looking ones. I'd rather marry a bald, toothless, talk like a hillbilly, saved, going to heaven boy than to marry some old heathen that looked like your favorite rock star. Boy, that didn't get very well, did it? What are you laughing about, ladies? I see your husband. He's a godly man. But God chose Joseph. He chose her. He put them together. And then finally Joseph looked at it as a privilege, not a burden. Too many of you look at the will of God, being saved or serving God, as a burden instead of a privilege. Let me tell you something. It ain't no burden. God called you to do something. He'll take care of you. You listening? I'll tell you where the burden is, refusing God and fighting against the will of God. That's where your burden is. Amen? Then he told these shepherds, dirty, smelling people that weren't allowed to make offerings at the temple because of their trade. God sent somebody to tell these people, not real great, high religious people, and the reason was he wanted the world to see that God can save anybody, God can use anybody, and God usually uses those who are lowest instead of those who are highest. Because that way God got the glory. The temple didn't get it. The priest didn't get it. The religion didn't get it. God got the glory when these shepherds come out there and said, "Man, y'all seen what we seen?" Amen. And God blessed their life in that night, and they were forever changed. You'll never read about those guys again. They came now to my point. I got 10 minutes to make it. There might be a lot of things around you like you could learn from Mary and Joseph. God might be wanting you to, he might be have chosen you and you're afraid. And by the way, I can't tell you if God chose you. People come to me, young men come to me sometimes, they'll say, "Pastor, can you tell me if I'm called to preach?" I said, no, I can't do that. And then I see a lot of them start out and they don't last long. And we used to have a word for that in Bible college. We said there was mama sent. Mama told them they were supposed to be a preacher. And mama don't know your calling. And a lot of times you'll see this old lady on television, this guy done robbed a bank, killed 3 people, and run off with a police car, and they go up to this poor little old widow lady, and she's his grandma, and say, "What about your grandson?" And she'll always say, "He's a sweet boy." They wrong. "He's a good boy." Then they'll go to the neighbor, and the neighbor will say, "Oh, he always cut my grass for me." Don't nobody know but you and God. I can't tell you if God's calling you to be saved. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God draws him. He said, "No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him." So the Holy Spirit draws you in your spirit and in your heart and in your mind. And while I'm preaching on tithing, you're hearing you need to be saved. And while I'm preaching on godly living, you're hearing you need to be saved. That's God calling you. God chose you. And it'll scare you to death. Boy like me didn't grow up in church, probably been in church 6 times his whole life before the day he got saved. Got married in a Presbyterian church because my wife went to, her family went to that church. By the way, it's the first time I'd ever wore a suit. I was 21 years old. First time I ever wore a tie. Yeah, I never wore a tie for that. My dad-in-law was that tall. He tied my tie. He put it over his head and he tied it to reach his belt. And then I pulled it over my head, and that's where it came. I got wedding pictures to prove it. Me and my wife had the same hairdo. They called it the shag. Part in the middle, went down here. You couldn't tell who was the bride and who was the groom, other than she had on a wedding dress. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about God. And then I go sit in that church and the old preacher started talking about the love of Jesus and the love of God and how he sent his son to die for sinners, and that's what Christmas was all about, and that's what Easter was all about, and that's what the Bible was all about. And he'd tell that story and I'd sit there and the Holy Ghost of God would get a hold of my heart and I couldn't breathe and I couldn't think about anything else. And all I could say was, "Well, this is scary. If I ever get out of here, I ain't never coming back in here again." These people's crazy. Look at them. They weep. They cry. They lift their hand. They sing out loud. This preacher, he's a nut. He thinks I can quit all this stuff. He thinks I can be different. I was raised this way. Everybody knows this way. Everybody knew come under the three L's. They were in jail, out on bail, or already in hell. I didn't know any good people. It scared me to death. And you don't know the crowd I grew up with. It was a scary crowd, but they didn't scare me the way this did. I sat with my back to the wall everywhere I went. That's the crowd I'm running around with. But they didn't scare me near as much as the gospel did. Some of y'all feel like that right now. You don't need, hey, you need a doctor. You need Dr. Jesus. Amen. And that day when I threw all my fears, I said, God, I can't take it no more. After 3 years, about five times, I guess, he kept doing that to me. And I said, Lord, I can't take it no more. If you'll help me move this foot, I'll just go on down there. I'll do whatever I got to do. And I found myself going down the aisle. And I was going down. The burdens were falling off. The guilt was falling off. And I was crying and weeping. And I didn't believe men ought to cry. And as I was weeping, the burdens fell off with the tears. And I got down there, and the preacher said, what do you want, son? I said, I need to be saved. He said, he desires to save you. And they took me in a little room, and Wayne Henson was the man's name. He took a Bible, and he said, son, would you pray with me and ask the Lord to save you? I said, I don't know how to pray. He said, well, let me read you some scripture. And the scripture was, admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I'm still crying like a baby. And then he says, but the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Would you call on him? I said, I don't know how. If he'd have told me I had to stand on my head and whistle Dixie backwards, I'd have tried it. I was scared to death. But then when I come to God, and finally he said, will you pray? If I tell you what to pray? I said, yeah. He said, dear Lord. I said, dear Lord. He said, I know I'm a sinner. I said, I know I'm a sinner. He said, I know I ought to go to hell. I said, if anybody ought to go to hell, I ought to go to hell. He said, but I don't want to go to hell. I said, I don't want to go to hell. He said, I'm asking you to save me. And the best way I know how, I'm going to believe on you. And immediately, the peace of God came in right there. I wasn't scared anymore. He says, fret not, don't fear. He loves you in John 13:1. He says, faint not. He keeps you in Psalm 121:5. And you know what? Those that do have fear, guess what? They're pitied by the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 103:13, he doesn't hate you. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He says that they are accepted by God. In Acts 10:35, he says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. He says in Psalm 103:11-17, he says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. If it's fear that's causing you not to come to Christ, you can drop it. If it's fear causing you not to serve Christ, you can drop it. He'll give you peace. But not until you trust him to do it. How about this? Do you fear the present? A lot of you do. You figure, you're scared to death what's happening right now. Do you fear the future? Some of you, especially the older people, you're afraid of the future right now. You're worried about it. Do you fear God, the eternal creator of the universe? Do you fear what he might do to you if you met him today? Do you fear your eternal destiny? Now I know what they taught you in school. They started with our generation. That you came from a monkey and you're going back to the dirt. That's not true. You're an eternal being. You're unlike any animal on planet Earth. You have a soul and a spirit. And God breathed into the man the breath of life. God's own breath is in you today. And did you know that everybody has a measure of faith God put in your heart because God created that spirit in our heart? There's already a measure of faith. And all I'm doing today is watering that. And I want you to drop the fear and come to Him, and He'll increase that faith. And you'll be saved. What do you fear? I'll be honest with you. Since I've been saved March 5th, 1978, I've not feared man anymore. I don't fear what man can do to me. Do whatever you want to. I told a man one time, he stuck his big old finger in my face. He said, "You know I could kill you." I said, "You can't threaten me with heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm not worried about what you do to me. I'd be more concerned about what God did to me after that." You young people, I know you're a teenager and you think you're going to live forever, but you're not going to live forever. You better think about the after. Let's stand. Father, thank you. Somebody here today.